keep this law. I was in reliance and dependence upon God. And when people would witness to me and say, you need to trust in God, I'd say, whoa, I'm pretty good already. I don't need God's help. I've got it made already. And so many Christians that I met would try to witness to me, but I was so full of pride, I was blinded. And I didn't see the error of my ways. I was so fastidious in keeping all these rules and all these laws and keeping up appearances before other people that I really missed what mattered most, and that was in the heart. And among all of these people was a man, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and I thought he was just ruining the church, and I thought his teaching was terrible, and he did not emphasize the law enough. And some of his followers were wicked, horrible, awful sinners. And he would lower himself to talk to them, and it used to drive us nuts. What are you doing? You're making God look bad by hanging out with these horrible people. You should hang out with all the winners like us, all the people that are doing so well and look so good. But he never did. Ooh, I hated that guy. I was so mad. I was so mad at him and his followers. Why would they do this? This was just awful. And then they started this thing called the church. And it was full of these people that were Christians. And I really despised and didn't like them. And one of their leaders was Stephen, a deacon, a man they said was full of the Holy Ghost. And he testified to us about the importance of accepting Christ in your heart. It's not just the temple that you go to, but it's something that's in your heart. And I thought, this guy is perverting the truth, as I understood it. And so the day came when we decided that he was going to pay the price and we would stone him. And at that time, there had to be a leading figure that was responsible for the stoning, and that was me. I thought, that guy, he's awful. He needs to go. And so all the men, before they picked up rocks to throw at Stephen, they all came, and they left their cloaks at my feet because I was the one responsible for this death. And I was proud of myself when I thought, this man perverts the truth. He needs to die. I was so full of pride. I regret it now. I have so much regret in my heart. It makes me realize just what a wicked person I am, and what a sinner I was, and how wrong I was. But that wasn't just enough that I killed the very first martyr. I was a part of this. I was so zealous to keep up the Pharisaical traditions that I went to the high priest, and I said to the high priest, these Christians are ruining what we're trying to do here. If they continue on, we're going to lose a lot of our power, a lot of our control over people's lives. And so would you give me a letter of power, granting me authority to go house to house and to get rid of these Christians so they won't bother us anymore. And the high priest knew how zealous I was, and so he gave me a letter that gave me that kind of power. And so I traveled, and I would look everywhere. I didn't care who it was. I was just so angry. I didn't care if it was a little kid or a mother. I don't care if it was a father being taken from the home. I thought, I've got to get rid of this disease. And so I went from house to house, imprisoning Christians. Christians were tortured for their faith. Christians were locked up, and they would all witness to me. You're missing the truth. Christ is the way. And I thought, that can't be the way. It just takes so much humility. I can't accept this. I won't lower myself. But all along the way, they witnessed to me. Verse 13, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious? Before I knew Christ as my Savior, this is who I was. I would blaspheme the name of Christ. I would put him down. I would treat his name as if it didn't really matter. I treat it like a curse word to show my contempt and anger for who Christ was. I persecuted the church. How much worse can you be than trying to stop the work of God? That's what I dedicated my life to. Injurious, I hurt many people in the process. But it says that God showed me mercy because I was ignorant. I didn't truly understand what God's work was. I was so full of pride. I was so full of what I thought I knew, the traditions, all of those things that I had received, that I was oblivious to what was obvious. And God had to work in my heart and convict me of my sin. And I'm thankful that God loved me enough to show that mercy to me. Verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding in abundance with mercy and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful that we have a merciful, loving God. A God who's full of grace. A God who's full of love. Who didn't just leave me there, a wicked sinner. I'm thankful that God loves even the worst person, doesn't he? And God died for even that worst sinner. God loves us, and God cares about us. And he doesn't give up on us. but he loves us. And this is my testimony, and I'm so thankful. And if you want to read my testimony in the full, it's in Acts chapter 9, describes the entire testimony. But I was on the road to Damascus, persecuting Christians, and I'm on the roadside of Damascus, and suddenly there was a bright light, and my eyes were blinded, and I fell to the ground, and I heard a voice, and it said to me, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I was confused. Why would this voice be saying this? I didn't understand. And I said, "Who are you?" And the people that were with me, they heard the voice, but they didn't see the light, and they didn't understand what was happening. And I said, "Who are you?" And the voice said, "I am Jesus." And he asked me this question, "Why do you kick against the pricks? Why do you resist the conviction that I'm bringing to your heart?" And I realized it was futile for me to fight any longer. And I submitted to God that day. And God transformed me. And no longer did I persecute the church as Saul, but my name was changed to Paul. Now, initially, when the believers saw me, they had a hard time accepting me, since I had rounded up many of them. I had hurt them, many of their families. Initially, when I came to the church, they thought it was some kind of a trap. They thought that I was maybe faking this conversion just so that I could have a better chance at rounding up more of them. So many of them were resistant. But as time went on and I received instructions over several years, the place came when I started preaching the gospel and I began to take a stand for my faith. And I started being persecuted myself. And when the believers saw that I was being persecuted, they realized that it wasn't just an act, but I was real in my faith. And they received me and they were grateful. But now as I look at my life, I realize my story, it isn't really about me. It's really about God's mercy and love that he showed to me. And I'm just full of praise for him. And I want to share with you how much I love God and how much I praise Christ Jesus for saving me. And what a wonderful thing that is. If you look at verse 15, it says, "This is a faithful saying." Oh, boy. Oh, right page, I'm sorry. Verse 15, "This is a faithful saving and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This is a faithful saying. This is a faithful saying. This is a saying that should be accepted. Here's the saying that you should accept. Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, before he was in the world, he was with God. And so we know that Christ is God. And so I affirm to you that Christ is God. He was with God and he came to earth. He became a man, dwelt among us. And as a man, he died upon the cross for us. He died for the world of sinners, this whole world. We're all sinners. We all break God's law. There are all things that we say and do every day that make us in charge instead of keeping God's law. And because we have sinned, we are sinners, and we are naturally separated from God. And this is why Christ had to die, to save this world full of sinners. And so, Christ was God. Christ came to the world to die. And of all the people that he died for me. And I am the chief. I am the first sinner. Now, you may look at me and wonder why I would say such an outlandish statement. How can I be such a chief sinner? I'm the Apostle Paul. I've suffered a lot of hardship for Christ. I've planted many churches. I've written many books in the New Testament. How can I be a sinner? How can I be the first among sinners? Well, I will tell you this. The closer you get to God, the more you realize how sinful you are. The closer you get to God, the more you realize how sinful you are. And I've seen in visions, I've seen things in heaven, and it's made me realize just how selfish and self-centered I am, and just how sinful I am. And so when I say that I'm first sinner, I don't exaggerate. I really mean this. I am the first sinner. I really feel this. And I'm thankful that God saves even the first among sinners. I'm grateful. Verse 16, "Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me, first Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." You know, God was merciful to me. God showed mercy in my life, and now God uses me as an example to show his virtue through me. God uses me to show things like long-suffering, being able to suffer long. He uses me, and I hope that he uses you as a pattern to believers, as he uses me to be a pattern to others to follow. Others who are going to heaven can see my life and see a pattern that's worth following. I'm thankful that God uses me. And what a reversal this is, from what I was, who you should not be like, to now who I am in Christ. Verse 17, my heart's full of praise when I write, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful God that we serve. We see he's the eternal King. He was always in charge. He will always be in charge. He's the eternal King. We have the ultimate authority that we can submit to and who cares about us. He's immortal. He doesn't ever decay. He doesn't lessen his godness. He's always was God. He is God and he always will be God. He is immortal. I'm thankful he never decays. And invisible. We don't see him, do we? But he's there. He's there. And one day we will see him. And I'm thankful. And he alone is wise. No one's wisdom comes even close to him. His wisdom is on another level than anything else that we can ever imagine. What a wonderful thing. I look forward to the day in heaven when I get to learn more about his wisdom and grow more like him as I am transformed. And so we should give honor and glory to his name. If he has transformed your life, then you owe him a debt of gratitude. And every day should be a chance to praise and worship him. I honor and thank him. I praise him. Believers, question for you. Has Christ worked in your life? Has there ever been a point where you gave him your need for salvation and asked him to help you? Not that you're doing the work, not that you're doing part of the work, but is he doing the work? Has he transformed you? Has you realized that you are a sinner who is proud and needs a Savior? And then if you are a believer, are you growing? Do you realize each day, just like he had to help you get saved, he has to help you grow? We don't have the strength to change ourselves. We have to have the strength that he gives us each day to change. So I would ask you, is he working in your life? Secondly, are you humbled and grateful for what he's done for you? Do you have a sense of gratitude? Are you appreciative? Sometimes it's easy to think that we're entitled. You know, God needs me. I'm so important. You know, if I wasn't at that church, what would they do? As if God has to have us. Well, the fact is, we know from Scripture that if we weren't here to praise God, the rocks would cry out. God doesn't need our help. God chooses to let us participate, and I am grateful. And I hope that you're humbled by the service that God allows us to do. And we realize our value is not in us. Our value is what God does through us. And so I hope that you're humbled, even as I've been humbled, by what God can do with your life. Let us pray.